you've got a bike, you can ride it if you like. It's got a basket, a bell that rings and things to make it look good. I'd give it to you if I could, but I borrowed it. You're the kind of girl that fits in with my world.
Mic check, 1, 2, 1, 2. Hey there, and welcome to another episode of Crosshairs Radio. This is episode 30, and on today's show, we have another edition of They Don't Do That in Europe. Scott Diedenbach, David Palin, join the show to talk about everything that's been going on in the offseason, really what spurred this TDDTIE episode was the Femke Van Dreschen technological fraud case decision, where UCI came down with a 6-year suspension and 20,000 Swiss franc fine for Femke for being found with a motor in her bike at the World Championships that happened in January. We talk about that, get into a lot more. It was great to chat with these guys. Once again, hope you enjoy the show. But before we get to it, want to remind you that Crosshairs Radio is part of the Wide Angle Podium Podcast Network. I'd ask all of you to go to wideanglepodium.com. Go check it out. If you like what you hear here, like what you hear on the other shows, go throw a couple bucks our way to help us do what we do. Also, to help support CX Hairs in the Crosshairs, Crosshairs Radio, everything that we do, if you could go to cxhairs.com, check out the link in the top right-hand corner. That is to the shop. Still got some t-shirts left, some Spur Cycle Bells, cyclocrossbook.com. You can check out Skills, Drills, and Belly Aches, our cyclocross primer that's also available on Amazon. What else can I tell you? I think that's about it. I think we're ready to get into the show. This was a fun one. It's always good to chat with these guys. So let's get right to it. As these always work, this came over from the Cyclocross Network. This was Scott Diedenbach's show. So I'll let him take over the controls. So the next voice you hear is going to be Scott. Go.
All right. I almost said Cyclocross today, listeners, but it's They Don't Do That in Europe. We are back with another edition. With me, as always, on the left,
back on the left side again?
No, Bill Shiken.
Oh. Yeah, left side. Side of the devil.
Bill Shiken of, you know, Crosshairs Radio fame.
the podcast you're listening to.
The podcast is booming. And also with us, Mr. David Palin, as usual.
The right-hand man.
Yeah, David's been moving up in the bike world, Bill, lately. I don't know if you noticed this, but he is now a certified fit guru.
Oh.
Well, I don't know that. I'm not a certified fit.
Aren't you like level one or something?
I've taken my level one course. Okay. You don't get certified till you finish all three courses, and then you sit with Dr. Andy Pruitt himself for a two-day intense test.
When are you on the same level as like John Travolta and Tom Cruise?
Yeah. Yeah, more or less.
All right. Well, you have more fit knowledge than either of the other of us other two, so how's that?
Yeah, that's true.
That's true.
That's definitely true.
Should I raise my saddle?
Yes.
Yes.
And move it forward and slam your stem.
Oh. Right. I'd have to go like underneath my head tube at this point.
There you go. Get complete.
All right, guys. Well, we are here. This is, of course, the show about cyclocross and nothing but cyclocross. But we are in the off season, and as we said at the end, we had our awards show. We're going to do some get-togethers in the off season, just kind of as you know, news trickled in and built up. We'd have shows every now and then to kind of cover all that stuff, and we've kind of amassed a few topics at this point. So we were going to wrap about those. Sound good?
Sounds like a plan.
This show is never planned, so. All right. First thing we want to talk about: Femke Van den Dreschen. We've got we don't have the reason decision isn't out yet, correct? We've just got the kind of abbreviated decision of what's going to happen to Femke Van den Dreschen after the mechanical motorized doping. So who wants to, Bill, you want to like give us a synopsis of that?
Well, A, I don't know if there's going to be a B, but A is I got in trouble for calling it doping. I don't know. There's some listservs out there that have decided that doping is only for changing out blood or something. I don't know.
For dope.
Yeah. So what was it? It was
Mechanical cheating. How about
that? Yes. Yeah.
Let's not even call
it bicycle enhancement.
Yeah. So caught with a motor in her bike, not the one that she was riding, but motor in her bike at the U23 women's race at the World Championship. You know, we all saw all of the drama that went on with that, let's say, technological fraud. That's what they are calling it.
There you go.
There violation you go. Of Article 1.3.010.
And 12.013.
B,
right? As if any of us know what the hell that means.
And for this...
Start her own 501c3.
Yeah, she may have to now.
Right, exactly.
After she files Chapter 11. So, yeah, so she already, as we know, already decided earlier in the year that she was quitting cycling, not just cyclocross, but cycling completely, no longer a pro. But that didn't stop the UCI from going ahead with their hearing that she did not make a defense at. So there was no evidence entered in her favor. This was all based on their findings. And there said decision follows discovery of a concealed electric motor in one of the rider's bikes during checks at the women's U23 race. The bike was concerned was scanned using the new magnetic resonance testing deployed this year by the UCI, detected the motor whilst bike was in the rider's pit area. So everything that the motor was a Viva X switch.
Yes, with a Bluetooth switch, right?
Yeah.
Under the bar.
Battery in the seat tube, controlled by a Bluetooth switch installed underneath the handlebar tape. So pretty much everything we already knew going into this, they confirmed the story that we talked about ad nauseum about she saying it wasn't her bike, it was her old bike that she had sold to one of her dad's friends who put the motor in there to tool around town or whatever, but you know, somehow he was going to cheer her on at the race, put his bike against the van, somehow the mechanics grabbed the wrong bike, and that's how that was what her defense would have been. But as we said, she retired from cycling before presenting that to the UCI.
Yeah. The only part, I mean, that whole stuff, all that stuff sounds plausible to me up to the point that the mechanic mistakenly took it to the pit.
Right.
There's no way you're going to convince me that they picked up a bike that is normally
pushed to the defense of the mechanics.
No. I'm saying that there's no way they picked up what's supposed to be a 16-pound bike, but now it has this motor in it, and they couldn't tell the difference.
Yeah.
Well, it's also
buy that.
I would have liked to have seen, and I guess they didn't have to because they didn't have to defend it. Maybe it'll be in the reasoned decision. David could probably talk to this better since he is a certified fit expert. don't you want to see the setup of the bike?
Oh yeah.
I mean, if it's identical to her other bikes, is this guy like perfect? You know, this man that bought her bike have the exact same fit?
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, or he just preserved it as she rode it. But of course, they did have to pull the seat post out to put the battery and the motor in the seat tube. So you would imagine that he would adjust it back to his size, not hers, because he was riding it to keep up with his buddies or whatever. Yeah. No, I'm not buying that.
Yeah. So they also seem to think that this was not a first-time offense. Of the sanctions handed out, she is giving up or disqualified from everything from October 11th, 2015.
Yeah.
So going back even to that, what was the one? It was the Copenberg Cross. That's where people really thought she took off on one of these climbs. And, you know.
I just recently rewatched that race, too. And it is, I mean, it's just the fact that that race stands out for her. And, I mean, and it was...
She rode away from some pretty big competition.
I mean, she's crushing like Nikki Harris. Yeah. I mean, it's like, come on.
While nose breathing.
Yeah. Right. So.
And you know, is that the one that she won the U23 European Championships too?
Yeah, so that's gone. So yeah. Her U23 European Championship, U23 Belgian Championship, both those titles are taken away. All of her.
Now, do they have to? Does she have to send the jerseys to Austin, Texas, or something like that, or?
Austin. Oh, I see. She does hang them in the bike shop there.
Yeah, to hang in a undisclosed frame layer.
She has to return her medals and prize money she received in connection with the disqualified competitions to the respective organizers. So there's going to be some postage involved, yes. So that's one thing.
$20,000 Swiss franc. You know, penalty she has to pay or no?
Well, yeah, but it was interesting. There were some comments. You know, I posted this up on a website, and a man in Norman actually left a comment about returning the prize money, and then somebody was asking if she was. Being ironic, since women really don't make very much prize money anyway in Europe, so it wouldn't be that bad. But yeah, she also was fined 20,000 Swiss francs and will have to pay the cost of the proceeding, which will be determined in the reasoned decision. So lots and lots
more
of money.
20,000.
Yes. Yeah. So 20,000 plus prize money plus the cost of the proceedings. That's going to be a pretty big bill that she gets from the UCI.
That's a family that will not be able to afford canaries for quite some time.
Well, they're going to have to find another way to procure them.
Their work budget is going way down.
Yes.
Yeah, I think the only other thing in their bill, I think, is they, and this is obvious, but she'll be removed from the ranking list.
Yeah, so and that was the other thing that Amanda was talking about, how that's going to work out, because obviously one person is going to be moving into that top 50 that we always talk about, but also how they're, you know, really going to have to reconfigure all the points since she's no longer in there.
Yeah, that's a good point. And is it going to, I mean, when would that happen? I mean, are they going to wait?
Will they retroactively go
Well, they
back?
Can. It's not like somebody, it's not like Niels Albert retiring. I mean, she never existed after October 15th. So don't they at that point have to go back and refigure everything? It'd be weird if they're like, well, you know, we don't recalculate until X date, so she's still
well,
in
that's
there.
What I was thinking is that's what they could do to just avoid all that craziness. They could say, look,
so it's just like a placeholder,
right? Everything will be recalculated after the first World Cup, like it always is, and it'll all get straightened out then. And so until then, it's the status quo is what it is.
Do we have any idea who's number 51?
I don't. No.
Because that would be interesting. I mean,
yeah. So, but I mean, I think that would be either way is fine. I think I don't think it's a huge thing either way. But I mean, I can understand the person that is 51. They might not even care for all we know.
That's what I'm kind of curious.
Yeah. So, are you looking it up, Bill?
I am. You all can just talk amongst yourselves.
All right. Well, so what do you guys think about that? I mean, that's the other thing we kind of wanted to talk about is. Is that fair? Basically, the big items are, you know, 6 years. I mean, she's basically suspended until October 10th, 2021.
No, Georgia Gold is 50.
Right. Sorry. Bethany Crumpton.
Yeah. Great Britain.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
she's separated by 3 points. Or dead even on points. Right.
So
I have 290 points. Sorry, right. Go ahead.
The only real way that would matter is if she wanted to come over and do Vegas and jingle.
Well, I'll tell you who it affects. One of your buddies, Lisa Jacobs.
Lisa Jacobs,
who's
right.
52. Oh, so if any of those people don't, you know.
Well, but Lisa Jacobs can go because Australia's
she's already Australia.
Yeah, Australia's not going to put 8 in anyway, so she can go. So. All
right. How much deeper down this rabbit hole can we go?
But the big things in there are the 6-year suspension and the 20,000.
Didn't even talk about the suspension.
Yeah. So it goes till October 10th, 2021, basically, essentially. Do you guys think this is fair? Do you think it's a good? What do you guys think?
I don't know what to
think.
I
have a question for you on that.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. She said, you can't fire me, I quit. They said, you can't quit, we fire you. Right? Back and forth. She said, I retire. I don't want no part in it. I don't put up a defense or anything. Could she argue that I'm not going to pay your fine? I'm not going to pay your court costs. You didn't have to even have that trial because I'm out.
I don't see how – I mean, I don't know. Like, what is the legal? What's the legal standing for them to enforce that against her?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't. I have no idea.
They say you pay the $20.
Bill, you're the lawyer.
You can never race here again, right? I mean.
Yeah. No, I hear you. I agree. I wonder about that. I mean, if she's just quitting the sport completely, how can they ever enforce?
Well, I think it would only be. It would seem. I mean, I guess they maybe could try, but if she never pays, she can never go back. So basically, yeah, that's right. She's done. But I'm not sure if anybody signs anything or does anything. It doesn't seem like anybody signs an agreement with the UCI saying that they will pay all of the fines, do they? Federation somehow? Because Rudy DeBee came out and said that, you know, he's fine with the 6 years, but thought that the fine was too high.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I'm fine with all. I'm fine with the 6 years. I'm fine with the $20,000. My thing about it is, I think, and it's one that we've brought up before, is what about anybody else? This is my biggest thing, is she did not orchestrate this on her own. What is there any even investigation into anybody else? Either the mechanics, team directors, whatever. You know, that
Which
to me...
Which is also important because those people are likely to continue in the sport.
Exactly.
Whereas she's out.
Exactly.
That's a good point.
So, I mean, that to me is the basic. What other investigation are you guys doing? Somebody, you know, there needs to be more than just blaming a 19-year-old girl for this.
You stepped into my Twitter trap.
Oh, geez, what's that?
I don't disagree with you that there needs to be an investigation into who else was involved. However, I get a little rankled at that because she's 19 and a girl. Somehow she wouldn't be able to figure out how to put a motor into her bike.
Oh yeah. No, right.
No, but I think that's true.
But that's come out so much. It's like, well, okay, what if it was a 19-year-old dude? Well, no, they work on cars, they do this, they know about engines, they have motors, they can. But that's it. That's been, you know, that's been out there. It's like, oh, it's just this girl, it's just this young girl. And my whole point was that being a father of daughters, and that somehow young women are incapable of coming up with complex schemes on their own is an argument that is out there. I find fallible.
Yeah, no, yeah. That is not at all what I'm saying. What I meant. I mean, it would be the same 19-year-old boy, a 19-year-old period. I mean,
I think we could just say anybody. You know,
anybody.
Fabian Cancellara, if he indeed had a motor in his bike, did not put it in there himself.
No, I mean,
and even if she put it in there herself, her mechanic carried it to the pits. He knew or should have known.
No, he didn't. He had no idea.
Oh, come on.
Because he took that guy's bike.
I love it. He was generally aware. How about that? Is that the right word?
I don't think so. If he was generally aware, he would have. You know, he would have been like, "Hey, what's going on here?" When he grabbed this other guy's bike.
I'm going to make a self-report to UCI.
All right, well.
Tires are underinflated.
There does seem to be some evidence with that family that maybe they were not always above board. I will grant that, and that it possibly some other, you know, investigation should be taken. But, you know, there's a lot of double standards going on here. It's in the same way that we need we need to hold teams responsible when their riders do more conventional fraudulent activity. I can't call anything doping now. When they dope, right? I mean, that's always what we've said. It was like, well, you know, you can't just put these guys out there and go, oh, we had no idea about it. Maybe they did or they didn't, but teams need to be held responsible.
Yes.
So, yeah. It seems like the whole thing that, you know, this is far worse than somebody sticking a needle into their – you know, toes and pumping EPO into them, that somehow that's a lesser offense. That's the other thing that I don't understand.
Yeah, I completely disagree with that. I think it's the other way.
You know,
I've said that too. You take that bike away, then you've taken away the advantage.
Right.
As opposed to traditional retro doping.
Right. We have people who have
advantage you gain, you keep.
We have domestiques who have won mountain stages in the Tour de France and started their own cycling centers who got 6 months.
Yeah, yep. Exactly. Yep. You want to hear something really sad is I have a friend who works at a bike shop and said he's having people call him now asking if they can install one of those motors in their bike.
Nice. There you go.
And they're not racers. They just want one.
Yeah.
Why is that sad? That's good news.
Why is that good news?
It's selling bikes, man.
It's selling bikes. No, they already have their bike, right? They just want to put them up. Anyways, okay. The other thing, just last thing on this topic is, do you guys think this foresee any, because this was kind of embarrassing for the Belgian national team. Wouldn't you agree?
Oh, yeah.
I think they managed to kind of not hide from it, but it has really come out at Femke. It's all Femke. It's not like Belgian team or not even a Belgian rider.
But I mean, with the massive, attention that Cross gets in Belgium, I mean, it's just huge. And I remember talking about, after that first day of Worlds, Belgium had one podium spot, a third place, nothing else, and this huge scandal. So I'm just wondering, do you think there's going to be any changes in the Belgian national team where they're actually going to be looking out for this stuff themselves?
No, they isolated her. Rudy to be in this
the boss. Yeah.
In this article saying that he hasn't even talked to her since the world championship.
And you think maybe he should have to try to find out what's going on to make sure that all the other bikes are clean.
Yeah, well, and he was 100% in favor of the what he called a more or less a lifetime ban with the 6 years, because it's sort of iffy. She'd be 29 when she got back, but out of competition, so who knows. But at the same time, he thought the money was too high. But
I don't know. I mean, I could see a national team saying, look, we're not gonna trust what all these trade teams have been doing all season long. We're gonna, if you're gonna represent the national team, we're actually gonna do a little check on this stuff ourselves and be a little bit more diligent about it.
Seems to make sense.
I could see that in the future. It might not be Belgium. It might be some,
right.
Maybe some team.
But
too.
He can also argue that, 99 other bikes were checked and she was the only one, so she's an outlier.
Yeah.
And the UCI now is, and everyone else, is so focused on road racing and mechanical fraud, technological fraud, that they haven't even, this is just sort of almost a sideshow.
Is that your cat again, Scott?
No, that was Bill.
Oh.
If you bring up his cat, I can't edit out the first one now. It all has to stay. There's gonna be no continuity.
But on the bright side, one of the things I personally think mechanical doping is going to be, I'm going to call it mechanical doping, I don't care. I think it's going to be something that actually dies out pretty quickly, because I think it's too easy to catch. They're going to be able to catch it really quickly. Pretty soon we're going to see, as you're going to walk into the starting grid of your race, and it's going to be like, what was the Arnold Schwarzenegger, Total Recall, where, you walk past the screen and they can immediately, that's the X-ray. But, I mean, we're not too far from that right now with the magnetic resonance testing.
Yeah,
I mean, it's
scanning.
It's less than a minute. They're able to check hundreds of bikes at a race. They're not just checking the top three people or a random sample of three or four people. They're checking like 2/3 of the field. Right?
It's so much easier to control in a cyclocross race. The problem with a road race, theoretically, if you want to do it, it's all these guys who are switching bikes two or three times during a race or a stage. One of those bikes sort of get you through the middle part.
Right. Sure. Sure. I think because they can check so many bikes in a relatively short amount of time now, I think it's going to be something. It really increases the risk so much that I actually think it's going to kind of die off.
Go back to the good old days and they're just sticking needles in themselves.
Right, right, exactly. Sounds good to me. So anyways, that's just what I think. You guys agree, disagree? No comment.
I don't know. It'll be interesting to see. It's good that they're testing. Hopefully they'll do it and it'll just be part of, part of what goes on. And I'm sure there are very smart people out there right now who have reverse engineered this app that UCI is using to figure out how to beat it.
Yeah.
Well, but
one
I don't
of these,
know.
Infrared cameras that the French and Italians are using.
But I mean the magnetic resonant. I mean, I don't know how you get past having magnets if you're going to have an electric motor. I don't know how you don't have magnets.
Ball bearings. It's all ball bearings.
It's all ball bearings nowadays. What movie? What movie?
Fletch.
Fletch.
Peter Pressure
Corps. Fletch. Fletch. Oh, what a classic.
I think
what
you might. Play. Yes.
All right, moving on. Matthew Vanderpool.
Yeah.
He's doing some mountain biking.
He is. Yeah. So everybody worried that he's going to leave cyclocross to race on the road, and even his dad made some, you know, remarks like that because he didn't think he was being treated well at the end of the cyclocross season and that maybe better off just going to the road. And then all of a sudden he makes this right turn and jumps on the mountain bike. Like the day after the world championship, he's already out there training on his mountain bike and is, you know, in World Cups and looking for an Olympic spot on the Dutch team.
Yeah. And so to get in the Dutch team, I believe he needs to get one top 10 in a World Cup or two top 12s to get on the team. So he did the Australia race. And did you see the picture that I put up of my friend Courtney LeShoy wearing a Cyclocross Network hat?
Yes.
Sitting next to Matthew Vanderpool.
Which is
kind of
cool.
That was awesome, yeah.
Only could have been cooler had he been wearing his Chippo suit, but that's okay.
Chippo muscle suit. Did not do great. He finished 32nd at that first World Cup. So, but again, you know, it's the first World Cup. Like
he also
said.
He started 72nd.
Yeah.
He moved up to that 34th position in two laps. And,
right.
And then I believe he flatted. So that's why it sort of stalled. But he was moving up pretty well. The crazy thing was that Julian Absalon, you know, ended up flatting on the first lap. Just awful time to flat. It took them forever to change that.
No.
Change that back wheel. He gets, and then I only bring this up because then him and Vanderpool were like riding together for a while. But then Absalon is just like nuts and just took off and passed those 30 people and ended up on the podium.
Bill, it sounds like you've really been paying attention to
studying up on mountain bike.
Name dropping and
I found a renewed interest in mountain biking. And we'll see what happens.
Oh. We might hear more of that.
What kind of bike is that guy riding?
Don't ask me technical questions. There's no people.
So that's a total teaser.
Yeah.
Well, pay attention, people. Okay, but you know. Is this I think it's further evidence that, hey, let's get cyclocross in the Olympics so that guys don't have
to. So they don't have to do this?
Right. Not that that's terrible. I love it when both men and women do cross-discipline in cycling and go and do the other stuff. But it'd be cool if cross was just in the Olympics and he could just ride cross in the Olympics, right?
It would be. And there's another thing that I do like as – you know, we see a little bit in it. You don't like when in a cyclocross guys come in and you see it more on the women's side where they're not racing all the time. They come in and they do really well in a cross race. And you're like, well, what kind of specialized discipline is this if somebody can just come in and do well right off the bat? So it's sort of nice when like Lars Baum, who we'll talk about later, comes in and doesn't do great. And you're like, okay, well, this is a specialized sport. Seeing Vanderpool show up in a World Cup mountain bike race against mountain bike specialists, he wasn't able just to ride to the front and win the race. You know, it's like it's still a specialization. He still has to work on those skills. I think he'll get there, but it's nice to see at this pro level that you can't just jump in there. The same thing, you know, I think we're going to talk about a guy who did a little road racing who's a cyclocross star and was
No, and I completely agree, and we've said that before with when we were where was the whole single speed thing when guys who hadn't raced single speed all year come in and dominate the single speed race. And it's like, well, and I agree with you. Do you truly have a separate discipline if guys and women can do that? I think it's good to see them go and struggle a little bit and maybe not even make it. Who knows? Maybe he won't even make it. But
does he have a background in mountain biking?
Vanderpool?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know that he has raced a lot of mountain bikes, but I mean he must have gotten those skills from somewhere.
Yeah,
right, sure. So all right, anything else we want to touch on that? We're moving on.
Let's move on.
The other guy you were talking about, Lars Vandehaar, he did some Paris-Roubaix race.
Roubaix, yeah.
Paris,
not allowed to say.
Paris-Roubaix.
The use of that R word in association with cycling is patented.
But I mean, three big cross racers in that race, obviously Vandehaar, Lars Boom that you mentioned, and Stibar, right? And the only one to even Vandehaar and Boom DNF'd, and then Stibar got 110th, although he was instrumental in the outcome, I believe, right? I have not seen this yet. All I hear about is how great it was, and I can't wait. One of these days I'm going to sit
down.
Yeah,
he was definitely a in the race and moving up one of those groups.
Yeah. And I mean, and that to me is what's important. I think you talked about this when you interviewed what's his face? The guy that does the other show on your network, the new show, Bill.
Adam Meyerson.
God, how do I draw a blank for an Adam's name? But I think you talked about it with Adam is that the main thing is that these guys are influential in the outcome. They don't, you know, they're not going to come out, you know, podium all the time, and nobody is going to podium all the time in road racing like that. But it's cool that they are influential in the race, and they're in the race, and you know, they have something to do with the outcome.
Yeah, and it's nice for Vandehaar, who is on the world pro team. Am I saying that wrong? What am I trying to say? For Giant, he's on the road team. Basically, he's on a road team. He's not on a cyclocross team. So it's good that he, you know, got into a road race.
Yeah. So, and
Pro Tour. That's what I was looking for. Pro Tour team.
I thought that's where you were headed. And I don't know about you guys, but his tweets before the race, he seemed a little nervous.
Yeah. He was like, that was much harder than I thought when he was doing his recon ride.
Yeah. So, but yeah, what a great guy. I just loved the fact that he did that. So.
I don't know if you guys noticed his bike, though. He did have the cyclocross cheetah brakes on that bike.
Did he?
Just the one for the rear.
Oh, okay. Well, that makes sense in that race. I mean,
of course.
You're going to be up on the bars a lot in that race for sure. So,
yeah.
All right. One of the other topics we want to talk about, Cross Vegas, something Mr. David Palin knows a little bit about.
I do, yes. Indeed.
Well, congratulations to David Palin.
David, yeah, you did some of the congratulations. Cross Vegas voted best event of the 2015-16 CX World Cups.
I wish I could take even a little bit of credit. I mean,
voted by the UCI.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, you can take a little bit of the credit, David.
Sure, I'll take a little bit of the credit. Okay.
I talked to Brooke. I talked to Brooke, and he said it's going to be like the Stanley Cup. So you're going to get like a week or two with this trophy.
Oh, I'm really looking forward to that.
You can carry it around, take it to
the shop. I'll bring it by your house, Scott.
Okay, yeah, I'd like to see it.
Yeah, for sure.
He
knows it's glass, right?
I don't know if there's a guy with white gloves who travels with it, though.
Yeah, it gets its own seat on the plane.
But yeah, so in honor of that, I watched both the men's and women's race again just the other day, and I have to amend what I said. I think when we were covering this during the season, I said it was maybe a good race, but not a great race. I'm going to amend that and say that was a great race.
Yes, it was.
Oh, man. Watching it again, I was like, why did I not think this was a great race? It was awesome.
Yes.
The thing about it, I think, and, you know, I've seen people posting on message boards, oh, no, it was the worst race of the season. No. I'm like, you are insane. I don't know what you were watching if you think that. But the thing about Cross Vegas is, and I think God, what is my problem with names today?
You're a morning guy, man. We usually go in the morning, take a breath, have a cup of coffee.
What's his face that was announcing? And I think Tim Johnson said this during the commentary, and I think it was very true, is that Cross Vegas is a very unique race. It's not the same as every other cyclocross race, but that doesn't mean it's not great. It's great in its own way, and I think that's really true. And I think sitting down and watching both those races again, that really came out that, man, these are really good. Those are really good races. What do you guys?
They were.
Bill, have you had a chance to watch it? I mean, I know you were there. We were all there.
I did go back and watch it a couple times, and yeah, I enjoyed that race a lot. And
from what I understand, might even be bigger and better things to look forward to across Vegas this year.
Yes. And so I don't know if people saw my tweet. When I was rewatching, I took a picture of my TV with it on the screen, and they happened to be showing the course map because it was right at the beginning when I was watching it. And I tweeted that out, and I said, congrats to, you know, Brooke and Cross Vegas and stuff. And Brooke responded, in case any people haven't seen it. He's like, yeah, I see you got a picture of the course map up there. And he said, wait until next year. Teaser alert, there's going to be some really cool course changes at Cross Vegas this year. So what that is,
you may never know.
We may never. Well, we'll know by next year, hopefully.
You'll be watching on TV, I guess, right?
I kind of know.
Do you kind of know? Don't say.
I'm not going to say.
I don't want you to get in trouble.
I'm not going to get in trouble.
Is it going to go underground?
I'm not saying.
We're going to have more
fun. I can't say, man.
It's going underneath the Bellagio.
Simon's
going to come out through the fountain.
Simon Burney tweeted Brooke calling for more tunnels in the race.
I will just say I heard some of the things that may be changing, and they are all good and dramatic changes.
Sweet, sweet. So yeah, I think Brooke said that they're going to release the course route soon, right? I think that's going
to. You're just trying to get Bill to spill the beans.
That's going to be fairly soon that they're going to release the new route. So, yeah, very interesting stuff to see. Very, very cool stuff. So, all right. Anything else about Cross Vegas other than just big congrats? Are we all agreed that was a deserved win by them?
No, I think France should have gotten it. Jokes. Montreal should have gotten
Montreal
it. That's better. Yes.
I was gonna say the guy who said the guy that said Vegas was the worst race obviously didn't see the French race. I bit my tongue and then you went there, Bill.
Well,
try not to be hard on that. No, French
congratulations
race.
To Brooke and all of his team, even David, on another. Wonderful job, and look forward to heading back there and then heading to Iowa.
Yes.
That's going to be tough. You're going to do both?
I am, yeah.
Okay, that's something else I wanted to talk to you guys about. You know, Bill, you've been doing all these great interviews on Crosshairs Radio lately, and you're always asking people what their plans are for next year. What are your guys' plans for next year? Race-wise. Bill, I know, you're going to be at Charm City, right?
Yeah, I'll be at Charm City, though. Before that, I think I'm going. I wanted to go to Trek as well because I have a feeling that there may be some big hitters there since it is right before Cross Vegas. So there is an opportunity there for maybe some Trek sponsored teams to race at that Trek race.
What did that be?
And,
we'll bring that up in a second.
Yeah, and I was trying to make it out there. It conflicts with Nittany Cross, which is in my area. So it's UCIC2 race. So I may.
Dude, you gotta come to Trek, man.
Well, I'm gonna see. I may try to make it out there for one day. But that's gonna be a just crazy travel schedule if I can pull all that out, because it'll be, you know, Wisconsin.
Yeah.
Then to Vegas, then to Iowa.
Yeah, if you're going to try and do all that, that's
definitely right. Definitely doing the two World Cups without a question. So I'll be in Iowa City and also be in Las Vegas.
Awesome, awesome. David, you got any plans?
I'll be in Vegas.
Vegas,
we'll see
sure.
What happens with work and travel allowances.
Okay. Cool.
But I'm going to try to be at least around the Midwest as much as I can.
Sweet, sweet, sweet. All right, so we mentioned the Trek. What, dude, does the Trek domination of Team Telenet Fedea and the Sven Cycling Center, I shouldn't say domination, but that's a tight relationship that we have now, right, between Trek and Telenet Fedea. That's going to be pretty solid. I know Katie mentioned it on your last show, Bill, and what do you guys think about that?
I don't know. I think some people are pretty upset that, like, they're leaving their U.S. roots and selling out. But on the other hand, they have a pretty good foothold here in the U.S. and perhaps not as strong a foothold in Belgium or in Europe in general.
Yeah.
I think also if you want to be, you know, you had Sven, you had him on the Trek Boon, and that raised the profile of their cyclocross bikes tenfold. I don't think there's any denying that. Now you have basically the Yankees of cyclocross riding your bikes with Telenet Fedea and Sven leading the way. They're also partners with him, big partners, major partners in Sven's cycling center that he's opened. So I agree with you that it's a shame that there is less of a focus on domestic riders, including, you know, restructuring of Katie Compton's agreement with her. As she said, when I talked to her, she's getting frames and some cash from them, but she's no longer a Trek Factory Racing rider, so she's working on other title sponsors. And I know that the race focus on other cyclocrossers in the U.S. is definitely diminished. But on the other side, I think it's pretty cool, and I think that they're, you know, having a big team like that on your bikes is a pretty good coup.
Yeah, I mean, I'd say in Trek's defense, you know, what are you going to do? Not do the deal with Telenet Fedea? You know what I mean? Of course you're going to do that. You have a limit, and you have a limited budget, right? So of course you're going to do that. And if that takes up a huge chunk of your budget, well, you know, I think I'll give them a little bit of a break from that stand. But I just think it's a shame that, you know, we've had a lot of American cyclists in all disciplines buy Treks because they are an American company, American made, you know, or at least were American made. But then, you know, so it just would be nice if that were still the case, like you said, Bill, and there could be more.
There were a lot of Americans who bought Ridleys because Telenet Fedea was riding them.
Sure, sure. Yep. And there'll be a lot of there'll be a lot of people worldwide that buy them, but they'll buy Treks now because Telenet Fedea is riding them. So, yeah, I mean, I get it. So I don't want to be too hard on them. It's just kind of a bummer, I think. It'd be cool if they didn't if it didn't work out that way. But it'd be very cool to see Telenet Fedea on Treks, right? Especially if
Do you think they're going to ride discs or they're going to ride
Canthys? Oh, jeez.
Sorry.
They're going to ride discs. Are you kidding me?
Course.
What about you, Bill?
I think they are too. I mean, who's not? You know, we saw pictures of Wout Van Aert's new bike that had disc brakes on
it. Tell us about that, man.
I just saw. I don't know anything about bikes, but his new. Yeah.
I don't know anything about
that. That's why you guys are around for all of the technical stuff.
I was going to say, did it have 140 or 160 rotors on it?
Uh-huh.
It did.
You're going to be like, what's a rotor?
It's a spinning knife blade.
Yeah, no, the new Colnago cross frame with disc brakes that he'll probably never ride.
Yeah. You think he'll... I mean, I gotta imagine he'll still ride Canthys, right? I mean, he's not gonna like ride discs all the time. I'll guarantee you there's no way.
I doubt it. You know, but they did give him a really nice bike with his they look small. I'm gonna go 140s. with a modern world championship stripe paint job on there, so we'll
see.
Nice.
All right. Bill, did you wanna talk about anything else? Vermeersch?
Yeah, so Gianni Vermeersch, who we talked about a lot, won from his unconventional dragging the bike through the mud style to riding style that had him
antagonistic.
I believe Ryan Trabone during Cross Vegas was a little displeased with Vermeersch, and then I believe during one of the late season races, him and Sven got into it. And if the translation is correct, I think he called him a snot-nosed kid. But there was some aggressive putting Sven into the barriers a couple times, and that didn't go over well. So who knows if that had anything to do with the decision. I think it was more that he just didn't get the results that Marlux wanted him to get, and they dropped him, which was a surprise, and I think a surprise to him as well. So he is no longer on that team, and it was really interesting. And this is where, you know, this is where you know this is a top professional sport, closer to like the NFL or the NBA, where, you know, manager Marlux is saying, no, we want somebody like Lars Vanderhaar. We don't want him anymore. It was just like, we're not gonna no niceties in this. You're done. You're out of here.
So we don't like you. You're done.
Yeah. So he was
he's not just seeking alternate employment.
Yeah. So no longer Marlux Napoleon Games. Vermeersch was unemployed only for like a couple weeks, and then what's interesting is there's the Roodhoff brothers, and they own the BKCP team, so Matthew Vanderpool's team. Yeah. They also run that ERA team that Swick's on, right?
Known for their helmets.
Yeah, and then Tara McCarr and guys like that are on. So he signed with that group, but they say he's not going to race for BKCP or ERA, so we really don't know what that means.
So weird.
Yeah, but he has a contract with them, but we just don't know what that means or where
he's
going to race.
He's part of the group. He's part of the group, but he's like a one-man show. And that could change. You know, that could change too. I mean, we got a long time before the start of the season. So, but yeah, it's just weird that that's like that.
Yeah. So as you know, right now, I guess we'll know in September. But right now, I guess he's in Mallorca, training in neutral gear.
All right, guys. Well, we covered a lot of topics.
Yes.
Yeah, we did.
Has been any other cyclocross topics that we want to mention? David, do you want to bring up the disc brakes?
I'm not going to bring up the disc brakes.
The question,
hey, but I'll throw out the I don't know what the equivalent is either here in Michigan or for that matter in DC, but in Boston we have the Boston Herald, which is like, you know, the New York Post of the newspapers in Boston. Here's a headline that you can use for the CX. Here's Bill. Katie Compton gets ISO speed decoupled from Brett.
Run that by the editors. Oh, you know, there was a couple other things.
Van
Aert did all of his testing, the Bacala Academy, for all of his, you know, where he is for all of his power numbers and everything else, higher than he was last year already.
Oh, well, you know, he needed to add a little power to his
game. So coming into the season, even stronger. Whatever.
Nice.
Unless he goes on some kind of binge.
Yeah.
Look out. Yeah, great. No, that's cool. That's cool.
Yeah, that was worth mentioning. Oh, and then also Lars Boomwood, because I said we'd talk about it a little bit. And back to Trek and Sven and Telenet Fidea, or more just Telenet Fidea and Sven, they talked in February about Big Lars leaving the road and coming back to cyclocross. You know, he did those couple races despite not getting the results that he wanted, even though he did better at Worlds. He's still pretty stoked on cyclocross and was considering making a return. Just recently, HLN.B came out with an article that looks like he's still wants to do it, but really thinks that he can still win a monument on the road. So it may not happen, at least not in the next couple years.
Huh.
So who knows?
No, that's interesting. I'd love to see him back. I mean, that'd be awesome. We'll see.
I can't believe that Astana is going to be around for that much longer.
You know, but I've been saying that for like the last 10 years.
That's true.
It's like, oh yeah, they can't be around. And then here they come. They're all the time. So, who knows with that team? I mean, all right, man, guys. Anything else we want to talk about? Let's call it a wrap. Bill Shiken, how can people get more information about you, or send you stuff, or follow you, or whatever?
CXHairs.com. They can send me email at feedback@CXHairs.com. Follow @CXHairs on Twitter and Instagram. Also @CrossHairsRadio. And I have to mention that if you like this show, I would ask that you please go to WideAnglePodium.com. That is the podcast network that Crosshairs Radio is a part of. Check it out. Look at the other shows that are available, including the Meyerson Line, Kids Don't Follow, which is the music podcast I do,
Slow Ride.
Slow Ride podcast. That's one I couldn't. I got Meyerson. I couldn't remember the Slow Ride podcast, and then also the Honest Bicycle program. All quality shows. If you want, you can donate. You can support all of these shows. You can pick which ones you want to support when once you donate and give a couple bucks a month, and that will help all of us.
That's awesome.
To do what we do.
Excellent.
Sounds cool,
Mr.
Hey,
David.
How's the parking lot racing going? The parking.
It went great. It was every
underground crit. Yeah.
Yeah. Every Wednesday in March, we had those. It was second year, even more popular this year than last year. So big thanks to Crystal City in Virginia, the Crystal City BID. Those are the folks that make it possible for us to do that, and it's always a good time. It's really a cool event, and
much fun.
I'm glad that we have the opportunity to do it.
Yeah, very cool. David, where can people get in touch with you?
I am Mr. David Palin on Twitter and Instagram now.
Cool.
Making my way into the 20th century.
What do you have any Roubaix type gravel races coming up?
I do not currently. There is Michigan Mountain Mayhem coming up but that's a fall race. We're kind of done with the gravel for now.
Oh, and we have not talked, Bill, since David put on his Waterloo Grit and Gravel race.
Oh, right, yeah.
And I did that. I registered for that. I raced in that. Well,
you were just off the podium, the American podium.
I rode that. I mean, I was riding and talking to people, having a fun time. But first year of the event, sold out 500 people.
Nice. Way to go.
Dude, yeah. It was awesome.
Bill, I've been putting on cross races for, nearly 10 years. With advertising and promotion and giving away stuff all along. And I think the biggest race we had was 320, 330 people. Here we topped it out at 500. We had to close registration because of parking considerations and other things, which we will address for next year, and we'll be able to cap it much higher. But it sold out.
Wow, you sound like a road promoter now with cyclocross. We do everything we can. No one comes out to our road races anymore. They all race cross, and it's like now all the cross promoters are like, they're all racing gravel.
Everybody's racing gravel. It was awesome, dude. Excellent, excellent job, and it'll be really exciting to see it again next year. So that was very, very cool. So, also, people, if they're interested, they want to check out Hear More with me and Mr. David Palin. We were just on the Coach Jeff podcast. That's a podcast that Coach Jeff does from Australia. If you just search Coach Jeff, we were just on the last episode of the bike podcast that he did. And very soon, look for a new bike shop show. For people that have listened for a long time to what we've been doing, Bike Shop Show was the first podcast that I started back a long time ago. But we will be having a new episode. It's been a long time since we had an episode, but we're going to have a new one coming up very soon. We're going to be recording that this week so people can come check out. Stay tuned to the Bike Shop Show feed to hear more of us on there. And you can check me out on Twitter at CyclocrossNet or CyclocrossNetwork@gmail.com if you want to shoot me an email. Also, look for very soon we'll be having some very cool Women's CX Project announcements with what we are going to be doing with the Women's CX Project cyclocross team, development team, and some corroborations that we've got setting up that are going to be just awesome for the next cyclocross season. And we hope people stop by our tent and stuff at the races and come and check out what we're doing. So look for all that stuff very soon. Guys, it was a pleasure talking to you again.
It was. This was fun. We should do this again. At some point.
We'll wait as more news builds up. I'm sure we'll have another opportunity to do this before the start of the season. And then, of course, once the season gets rolling, we'll be – maybe, dude, if you come to Trek, we got to do some live stuff.
Yeah, okay. If I come to Trek. I want to do that.
For quite some time.
I know, but, the problem is then we get together and then we just start talking about everything else and never actually record anything.
Do it, right. But one of these days. All right, guys, take care, and we'll talk again soon.
All right, sounds good. We'll see y'all. I've got a bike, you can ride it if you like. It's got a basket, a bell, it rings, and things to make it look good. I'd give it to you if I could, but I borrowed it. You're the kind of girl that fits in with my world. I'll give you anything, everything, if you want things.
a cloak, it's a bit of a joke. There's a tear up the front, it's red and black, I've had it for